Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Well, Danny, it's good to see you again. Enjoyed Tuesday hearing your stories about your time in your fraternity and what you learned at the beginning of your career. Before we start, I always ask again, what's another thing you're thankful for? And would you share with us something about that, Danny?
Yeah, I would say that one of the things I'm really thankful for is the work that I've been called to do to be a pastor, which I've done over 30 years. I'm grateful that I can be an instrument that's used by God to have eternal impact in the lives of others. And I started out in the business world. I was there for 8.5 years. What led me to go into ministry was the desire to have an eternal impact in the lives of others. So I'm very thankful I get to do that.
Where did you work before you came into the ministry?
I was with AT&T for 8.5 years in marketing, sales, training, and sales management.
Well, you've run into a lot of interesting people in your life. So tell us about a couple more that you'd say were small-time leaders for you.
Yeah. And I love your phrase, small-time leaders, because naturally everybody's got somebody that they have been with for a long time that's sort of poured in their life. But they're these little ones that come around your life that have a big impact. When I became pastor here at Shades Mountain Baptist Church, and it's a large church, 5,000 members, and we had a large staff, there needed to be some changes and some transitions that we had to make. So I went to a conference on transition and change, and we took our ministerial staff with us to it. And the guy who was leading was a man by the name of Dan Sutherland. They gave us a notebook. They covered a lot of stuff for 2 days. But Michael, there was one statement that he made that resonated with me that stayed with me. And he said, "Go slow, stay long." And that just jumped all over me because my desire was to stay long. Average Southern Baptist pastor doesn't stay at a church longer than about 4 years. There's no way you can implement a vision and change that's lasting if you do that. So my goal was to stay long. And when he said, "Go slow, stay long," it encouraged me to say, don't speed the change process, be deliberate with it. And when you do that, you'll bring people along with you and you'll be able to stay longer and leave a greater legacy.
Knowing you a little bit, you're not a go slow kind of guy. I mean, that's not your personality. So it takes a lot of discipline for you. I mean, because you move fast, you work fast. I mean, you do.
Yes.
And wow. So I guess that really took a lot to take that into account because of your kind of.
Yeah, it did. But and also, I've watched a lot of guys crash and burn that yep. tried to just come in and do things really fast, you know, and it caused me to step back and say, okay, hey, listen, we can make this a longer process.
Right.
And it's hard for leaders at times because we already see down the road. See, we see that 5 years down the road, but our other people don't. And so we have to slowly lead them in there so they can see what we see.
So you'd mentioned another person too that had made an impact on you. Who was that, Danny?
This is pretty important. You know, I did say most pastors leave between about 4 years, maybe five. Well, I was at 4.5 and I was following a legend and we were trying to make some changes. And the legend I followed was incredible. He was great. It was everybody else that was it was causing you trouble at times. I mean, I was questioning myself, Michael. I was questioning my abilities. I even had other people questioning things they didn't think were going as well. And I had really almost replaced the entire staff. So I was almost a personnel manager for the first 4 years. And I was hiring new staff, trying to get people had the same philosophy that I had. And that has finally come to fruition. Finally, we're getting those guys there. I was exhausted. I was feeling a little bit depressed on it and even hopeless. And somebody gave me a name of a guy named Dan Webster in Holland, Michigan. That was a life, like a life coach. It was called, it's like a life mapping guy. Guy will map out your life. And his ministry was called Authentic Leadership. So I set up an appointment, went over there his first week of September in 2001. And I met with him for about a day and a half. And what he did was he just sat down with me and said, okay, start with your life. Tell me when you were born, where you grew up. And we walked through there and he said, identify particular moments that stand out in your life. And so I'm going just through my mind and I'll throw these things out. And he just starts writing them down. And Michael, we spent after this whole day of looking of my life, which he had mapped out, you began to see these kind of these spiritual markers along the way. What it did was it showed that all these things that I had seen as important in my life were things that God had been building into my life for years to prepare me for the work that I was doing right now. When I saw that, Michael, it just resonated with me that this is where I'm called. This is what I am to do. I understood my personality, my gift mix, my demeanor. They were ideal for rebuilding an organization and for turning it around and taking on a challenge. So I felt, man, I walked out of that and I never looked back. And it changed my life and it changed really the trajectory of our church from that moment forward.
Wow. That is amazing. So that time to reflect for a day and a half really brought some things clear to you. These spiritual markers, can you think of one or two that were pivotal in that mapping that you did that day? Anything stand out?
Yeah. And really, some of those things weren't even spiritual. It was even like leadership things. And I went all the way back to, I was a Christian. I became president of a social fraternity. Okay. That's taking on a challenge.
You talked about that last time.
Yes. And when I was doing sales training with the telephone company, they gave us a new course called County Executive Sales Skills. And they gave myself and another guy, and they put the onus on us. And they said, you got to make this successful. And we did. And we worked hard at it. We made it successful. We took on the challenge. When I was promoted to a sales manager, I took the worst operating group in Alabama, and we went from worst to first. And so within 18 months, we went from worst to first. And so I had to do rebuilding. When I became a pastor in Louisiana, my very first pastor in First Baptist Church, Ruston, it was a dying church. And it was, I mean, everyone said it was dead. And God allowed me over those 8 years I was there to turn it from dead to alive. And it's still a vibrant church today. So when I saw those things, and then I get to Shades Mountain, which needed some changes because it had kind of hit some ruts there, I realized I'm the guy that's called to do this. So we did that same thing.
So after you did that, you came back, you said that was a pivotal point in your church. What was initiated at that time that you felt like what turned the church or made the turning point? Yeah.
Well, Michael, God had impressed on my heart to do a 40-day fast and to take our church through 40 days of prayer and fasting. After I finished with this, I was more convinced than ever. Came back a couple weeks later, announced to the church we're going to do a 40-day fast, praying about God's vision. And when we finished it up, Lord laid on my heart what was called our 2010 vision, which was a missions vision that took us into a whole new stratosphere of doing ministry in all 50 states, planting churches in all 12 of the International Mission Board regions, doing 5 church plants in the United States, 1 in Canada, and then to have missionaries serving on all 24 time zones around the world. And at that time, we'd only had a few missionaries even go out from our church. So by the time we got to the end of 2010, we met every one of those goals. The only thing we didn't make was my lack of geography knowledge. And that is we covered 21 time zones. 3 of them are in the Pacific Ocean. And so I felt like on inhabited Earth, we covered all of the time zones that we could have. So, and it changed our church. And our DNA is a missions church now.
Yes. And I was even part of that and saw some of that happen. I was... Yes. It was an amazing time. So you talked about going to church, you've been through these things, you learned about slowing down, actually did it by going and visiting with the 2 Dans in your life. So what's next for you?
Next for me is retirement. I'll be 68 in August. And so August 15th will be my last Sunday. We've already put together a search committee. We're using even a search firm, executive search firm. And we're also working with a 9-member committee within our church. And our hope is by this summer to have the next pastor of Shades Mountain selected.
What about Danny? Besides taking a break, I guess, any ideas of what you're contemplating for the future?
I think I was going to spend my time listening to small-time leader podcasts.
Oh, on there.
So
I couldn't think of anything better than that, Danny.
I'm telling you. Michael, real succinct, I'm just going to rest for a little bit and then just be praying about what God wants me to do. So I've still got a whole lot of energy, and I feel like I can be a help to somebody doing something. And we're just going to wait and see what God has.
Danny, well, thanks so much for being here today and reminding us about slowing down and really looking for those spiritual markers that God has already prepared each of us for our next step, but we need to slow down and look at that. So if anybody would like to get in touch with you, or do you want anybody to get in touch with you, would you?
Yeah, they may offer me a job.
We'll put your contact information on the website. If you'd like to tell us if they'd like to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, they can just email me at dwood@shades.org, dwood@shades.org, and I'll have that email for another 6 months.
Okay, and we'll put the other contact. Are you on LinkedIn and those kind of things? We can put
yes,
that
I
on?
Am.
Okay, we'll put those links for everyone if they'd like to get in touch with you, if they happen to have a good job offer out there. But hey, thanks again for being with us, and Danny, look forward to seeing you at Starbucks one day real soon.
I'll be ready for it. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.